Thank you for stopping in to Soft Spot. Yeah, I'm working on a catchphrase, but I don't quite have it yet. But either way, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is focused on our upcoming event in Belgium. It will be our fourth international symposium. The previous ones, which started in 2016, have been in Vilnius, Lithuania, Bucharest, Romania, Madrid, Spain, and then this year's in 2019 is happening in Brussels. We're pretty excited about it. We have a great lineup of speakers. We're in the heart of Europe, and the Belgium soft support has been truly inspiring. So listen on for me, Chelsea, the GSF Director of Marketing, our President and CEO, Stu Braden, and our Director of Military Relations, Ranger Rick Lamb, as we talk about some of the featured speakers, the soft environment in Western Europe, and many of the reasons that we think you should join us in Belgium this October. Check it out.
And then if we want to break it down.
Wow. Global Soft Foundation.
My immediate reaction was, this is awesome. Special Operations
Association for Special Operations.
You have our support. Let's move.
Welcome to Soft Spot.
So why Belgium? You know, it's a great question, but there's a lot of things that are happening this year in particular that make Belgium, you know, a really great location to do this. First off is the Belgian Special Operations community grabbed this with both hands and I've never had a partner, an international soft partner, be this aggressive with one of these events. It's been extremely impressive, at times embarrassing, the fact that they were so far out in front of us as a team that it kind of slapped us into a wake up that, you know, it was really good.
Usually ahead of us.
Normally people aren't usually ahead of us. And it's really great. I mean, I remember hanging up after a conference call going, God, I miss those days. You know, just being around people that are so professional and just so far out in front that it hurt to watch because you knew you couldn't keep up with them even if you wanted to. So having them as partners has been like unbelievable, and we really love it. I mean, Brussels is also the capital of Europe. You know, I lived in Mons, Belgium for 5 years of my life, and you know, you hear that term all the time and you kind of just take it for granted. But I mean, the reality is it's the headquarters of the European Union and NATO. And that is where some of the largest political decisions in the world take place. You know, I mean, it is an alliance of 29 nations sitting right next to the EU. And you know, when they agree to do something, it pretty much happens. You know, I mean, and it doesn't always happen easy, and it doesn't happen fast, and it doesn't happen without drama. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is driving a lot of what the world does and doesn't do. And so by being there and being right next to the seat of power and the seat of decision making, you know, makes it really attractive for us to get quality speakers at our events and have folks come in from that. And then, you know, the other thing is this is the 75th anniversary of D-Day and the invasion of Europe. And, you know, Belgium was one of the countries that was liberated by, you know, the Allied forces and stuff. And so it's, the timing is great. There's a lot of people in Europe that time of year. They're celebrating the 75th. There's a lot of people, frankly, that won't be there for the 80th. You know, they're so far up in age, they just won't see it. And it's really great to watch these people from all these different countries that came together, you know, to free Europe and stuff.
So Rick was just there for the jump into Normandy. Do you have anything you want to add about that?
Yeah, what in Belgium specific is the what I never realized until I got over there was, you know, they landed June 6th, 1944. 90 days later, they're jumping into Holland for Market Garden. 90 days after that, the Germans make their counterattack at and Bastogne gets surrounded. So Stu's right. This was the 75th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy, but it's also the 75th anniversary of guys just getting pounded in Bastogne and freezing. So being able to just walk that terrain. I went through Belgian Commando School years ago, and the thing that and I've been in love with Belgium ever since. I mean, just the
mainly the Belgian beer.
Oh yeah, the Belgian beer, the people. I mean, it's just a beautiful country.
You went to Belgian Commando School?
Yeah.
Why?
In Marche-la-Dames? Because the Rangers sent me there.
Because of all paid vacation.
Exactly. They said don't come back. unless you get the the training complete. But you got Flanders Fields from World War One. You got Waterloo. I mean, that's where Napoleon, basically lost.
Changed the course of the world.
They changed the course of the world. You got Eben Amal, years ago, that the special op books, that book that Admiral McRaven wrote, about Eben Amal was one of those missions. I mean, you can walk that terrain. The museum there, Smithsonian, that's in the Capitol there. I mean, they had like three wings, just pick a war. So anybody that's coming to the Global Soft Symposium, you'd be crazy if you didn't add a couple of days and just get out to some of these sites. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we are trying to do a little bit to commemorate this period in history with our opening reception. We're going to have kind of a walk through history. We haven't quite figured it out yet, but it should be a cool nod to the 75th anniversary of all these things.
Yeah, I'll be the guy dressed as the 17th Airborne Division Trooper.
You really will.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things that really makes this, Belgian special is about 3 years ago, Belgium, Denmark, and the Netherlands all got together. And they looked around, and these are relatively small countries, and everybody looks at Belgium on a map. I live there, and, I ride dirt bikes, as everybody knows, and I would go to dirt bike tracks anywhere in the world, and I could go across the entire country in less than 2 hours. It's just not that huge, right? On the map, they look big, but, when you're driving it, it's not that large of an area and stuff. And so Belgium, the Netherlands, and Denmark all decided to pull together and that they were going to form their own multinational soft headquarters, which is brilliant. I'm a huge fan of this. I think it's smart, it's intelligent, it's the right way to do business. If you're a smaller country, it gives you it's just a better use of your people and your money and stuff. It requires a lot of planning, a lot of trust in each other and belief in each other, but it's fantastic.
So we visited the Dutch soft headquarters a couple months ago, and they seem to think like everything was on track and going well, which is always refreshing to see.
Yeah, what's funny, but here's what it caused to happen. So before they could form the multinational headquarters, each nation had to form their own joint soft headquarters, right? So they all had a single national focal point to pull back into. And then they would form the multinational headquarters of all three nations, and they would reach out to their counterparts in their national capitals in those newly formed national joint soft headquarters. So we visited the Dutch national headquarters. It's great. The brigadier there was the former attaché in the United States of Washington, D.C. And I remember seeing him at an event, and he had just he just gotten there. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting recalled. And the first thing I thought was, wow, what'd you do wrong? I mean, the Dutch were brilliant. If you know anything about the Dutch special ops, right? So their army and the navy are extremely hardcore, and they're extremely competitive with each other. I know that might surprise people, but they are. And, they knew that there would be serious drama on deciding which one of those services would have the first commander of the Dutch special operations. So the chief of defense was an absolute genius. He reached out and he pulled in an Air Force brigadier. And what even makes it better is the Dutch Air Force was sitting on the outside going, yeah, we don't want to play. We don't want to play. We don't want to play. We don't care who's in charge. We just don't want to be on the team. Well, now you have a Dutch flag officer from the Air Force. And guess what? The Air Force is now playing. So it was a brilliant move. I mean, I take note of those things, and I watch how leaders do things. And I thought that was really, really brilliant. Same in Belgium. They're forcing what would normally be competitive and probably rival to some degree units, and they're bringing them all under the soft umbrella. It's not perfect. There's pros and cons to doing everything. But at the end of the day, that marriage is happening. It's a political decision. It's made, and the guys will execute it. It's the same. These are all small countries with small forces, but if you bring them together collectively, I think this is really, really huge. I think the other thing that makes this really unique is the fact that there's a whole bunch of other regional partners that are looking to do the same thing. And so what these three nations are doing is going to provide lessons learned to a lot of folks, not just in Europe, but I will submit to you, Asia as well, is going to, you know, this is a great model to follow. And if you can avoid any of the missteps that these three countries are making as they, you know, they're the first guys through the door, and you know the deal, you're the first one through the door, you are going to get bloody, but it's all great. You know, at the end of the day, everyone is going to benefit from this, and I think it's really, really important. And they have been phenomenal at helping us. They are sending their senior leaders, not just in their special ops, but in their military. And so, you know, as well as their political folks as well. So I think this is going to be, I mean, the level of support from these countries has been phenomenal. I was telling somebody the other day, normally we sit around the summer and we panic over our event in September, October, simply because nobody wants to commit to anything before the holidays. People are leaving and moving and changing jobs, irrespective of where you are in the world, the U.S., everybody. So everybody's non-committal. And you're running this, you know, this serious event in Europe, and you're really, really, you know, biting your nails, sitting there waiting for them to commit to speak at the event. So you're not doing things at the last minute.
I mean, we're still biting our nails, but...
Not nearly as bad as it normally.
But we do have some good speakers lined up. So do you want to speak to some of the speakers who we have coming that you're excited about hearing from?
Well, I just think listening to the chiefs of defense from Belgium and the Netherlands talk about, you know, how that they're, you know, how they did this. Like, I mean, everybody sees all the military stuff and they get the mechanics behind bringing headquarters together. That's very tactical. I've spent the majority of my career when I was on active duty doing stuff like that. But politically, man, that's a bold step. I mean, you're getting nations that actually sign an agreement to support one another in special operations. And, you know, I remember starting the NATO Soft Coordination Center, which was the predecessor to the NSHQ. We nations didn't even trust their special ops to NATO, nevertheless, to another country and stuff. And so it was just, so to see how far they've come in 13 or so years since 2006, it's just, I mean, it's hard for me to understand. I mean, the change has been that radical and stuff. So I think it's really huge. I want to hear them speak. And we're going to talk about information sharing. We brought in a bunch of unique people that you probably normally wouldn't hear. As everybody knows, you know, information sharing is not just a government issue. It's how the public and private sector communicate often with each other. And there are challenges there as well. There's legal ramifications. There's just all kind of things that impact how information is shared. And I think the folks that we bring in or to talk about it are very, very unique. I think the coolest thing that we're going to do, well, to me personally, it's something that I find really rewarding, is I was involved in the NATO Soft Coordination Center early on. I got to link in with the Italians, which were one of the, you know, the original, we call it the Big Seven, you know, with General Marco Bertolini, who is, you know, how he's like the godfather of the, you know, the Italian Army Special Operations, and phenomenal. He was the chief of staff at ISAF for McChrystal when I was in Afghanistan in 2010. Man's hard as woodpecker lips. I mean, just hard, hard man. I mean, just eat nails all day long. You don't walk into his office and snivel or whine. It doesn't end well. I mean, he just has no tolerance for stupidity either. I mean, it's almost scary being around him because he's, you know, he just looks the part, you know.
Probably because he's eating all those nails.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll really tear you up inside.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our excellent corporate partners, Spectra Group UK. Their groundbreaking system, Slingshot, is changing the way that special forces can operate by delivering reliable and secure beyond line of sight communications on the move using in-service tactical radios. Man portable or platform mounted, Slingshot means consistent command and control comms over thousands of kilometers, unifying land, sea, and air platforms in a single tactical net. You can see them at the Belgium Symposium at Booth 7, or you could visit www.spectra-group.co.uk or spectra-group.us for more information on this battle-winning technology. Are there any other speakers that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's a, honestly, it's probably the best. I mean, it's probably the best agenda we've had. I mean, I'm too comfortable with it. It kind of worries me a little bit here. I'm not used to, honestly, I'm not used to not worrying about the agenda.
I'm sure something will go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have an Icelandic volcano or something off.
Just from the NATO perspective, though, being in Belgium and that proximity to NATO, I mean, the NATO soft headquarters, it was kind of a first of its kind. So if you're coming from ECOMOG, ECOWAS, or ASEAN countries, outside of that NATO umbrella, taking a good hard look at how they did it, how they took a political economic organization, gave it canine teeth. Maybe you just want herbivore teeth to do natural disasters, but I keep hearing that pop up, especially when we were at PACOM, at the conference there. How does ASEAN do that? How do those nations come together? How do they do common tactics, techniques, procedures, left of a crisis? So the ability, I mean, you've got the schoolhouse right there too, which I was impressed by, the width and breadth of the courses that they taught to get all their analysts, for example, on the same sheet of music. That laid the groundwork for them to be able to then go in and set up the NATO soft fusion centers in Afghanistan when NATO invoked Article 5. So, your proximity to all those other organizations, all those lessons learned, and that deep network is going to make Belgium awesome.
But one of the things I don't want to overlook, though, while we're talking about Brussels, is the EU. Because everybody, to be honest with you, most Americans have no idea how to spell EU. And they don't really understand it and what it's trying to do or what it even does and stuff. And so, I mean, to be honest with you, right now, I think what they're doing in places like Africa are unmatched. I mean, they are spending billions of euros every year on projects in Africa because they see the Mediterranean highway as a transportation route, not an obstacle. It's a highway, not an obstacle. And so they're trying to work with the host nations in North Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa on things like building out their special ops partners, doing human trafficking. I mean, I know they're just doing tons and tons of work in this regard. And a lot of the people that are actually on the ground doing the work are EU nations special operations. And so I think, we're going to get to hear from a lot of the senior EU people. Most of the people in the U.S. are going to hear this for the first time and go, I have no idea this is going on. I think it's also a great opportunity for, there's a lot of American companies to partner with European companies because there's a lot of this stuff is contracted out or it's good business opportunities all around. So I think, you don't want to just pretend that the EU doesn't exist and it's not doing a lot. There's billions and billions of euros every year being spent on that, and I think it's really important. And then, like you said, on the 3rd of October, we're going to host the NATO Soft Coordination Center / NATO Soft Headquarters reunion at the Delirium Bar right there. It's a NoHo social. I mean, we've sent out emails all around the world. There's people that are going to fly in from all over to attend this. And so we would just encourage people to go. It's a great opportunity to hang out with old folks. I shoot out on LinkedIn old photos of the Riga Summit and, when the old building, building 208 where the NATO Soft Coordination Center was stood up and then where it later became the NATO Soft Headquarters. And then now you see the new building and everything. So we're in close proximity to all that. It's a lot of great people that have behind the scenes that did a lot of heavy lifting to make that happen. You saw a picture of Marshall Billingsley I sent on LinkedIn. And, it took people like Marshall that worked behind the scenes to get the president and secretary of defense to approve that. If you know Secretary Rumsfeld, not an easy man to get to say yes to. Yeah. I mean, it's the answer is no. Talk me off no. And I mean, guys like Marshall Billingsley, were there. And they used good rationale and reason to get the man to listen. And he bought into what they sold. And, and you see where we are today with the NATO soft headquarters. I think it's money well spent. And it was a great effort on those people's part. And it's just great to bring them all together and, have everybody see each other. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all getting older. And so these opportunities are fading. And, I think the Global South Foundation, needs to take the time to help arrange these things to keep the network alive and the community active.
another thing we always tell people, you know, not only is this a great professional opportunity, but you should bring your families, bring your spouses, bring your friends. And, you know, especially as people who have spent a lot of time and lived in Europe, you can attest to the fact that it's worth staying a few extra days, making this a family trip, going, visiting, hopping on the train and going to another nearby country.
Yeah, that's the Braden's problem right now. My kids grew up over there. And so we are, you know, it's literally a food fight between my wife and three
going
girls
home
on where they're going afterwards. And, you know, and so this becomes our big family event every year. You know, mm-hmm. last year in Madrid, they went to Romania, they went to Lithuania. This is good for them because all my girls went to school there at Shape and the schools have all been rebuilt. They still got a lot of friends down there. And so for them, it's like going home. So it's going to be kind of emotional for them, but really cool for them to see these. Now they're all young adults, you know, getting out there, paying some taxes. It's all beautiful. But it's really good to see them all do these. But the whole region, if you go to Belgium and you're bored and you can't find anything to do, I can help you. And so, but I mean, you know, they can call me or email me directly, man. I mean, there's 1,000 things you can do. We can make a 5-hour podcast on this stuff you can do in that part of the world. There's just so much going on. It's also a beautiful time of the year, man. Mm-hmm. So October, it's not, you know, tourist rates. So that things are reasonably less expensive than they are during the summertime. The weather hasn't turned. So it's, you know, you'll still get some good days and some bad days, but it's really nice. It's pleasant. You know, it's not freezing or horrible, you know, rain or anything. So it rains all the time in Belgium, but you know, in that part of the world, you wait 5 minutes and it's gone. But it's just, you know, it's just a great time of the year. It's a beautiful time to be in Europe. And so I tell everybody, man, if you just, you know, bring your family, enjoy the entire, what they have to offer there. They always treat us like rock stars too. That's the other thing. Just, it's so humbling. You know, they take phenomenal care of us to the point where I feel guilty, you know, cause when we do events here, you know, I mean, we're Americans, we're so fast and we move. So we don't often take the time and do the extra thing. And so, you know, and they make me feel guilty, but it's, you know, they appreciate us being there and it's great to do these if you get a chance.
All right. Well, let's all end by saying the number one thing we're most excited about for this event. I'll go first. I'm excited about the venue at the La Plaza Hotel because it has that, you know, old-timey, ornate look about it. The theater where we're having the events is pretty cool. So it'll make for good photo and video backdrops for me, which is always a win.
So for me, it's a no-brainer. It's the day prior to the event, the EU and NATO SOF are hosting their annual meeting in our space. They did it in Madrid. They had 120 people. They loved it. It took us like 11 years to make this happen. And some great commanders that, you know, grew up in the ranks with me were frustrated, you know, forced this. And, you know, Admiral Kilrain and Major General Gramatica pulled us off in Madrid. They're doing it again this year. So I'm really excited about that. I get to see old friends, you know, which is great. And it's really just, it's great to see the community get together twice a year because it's really helpful for all of them to do this and stuff. And so I as a former soft guy, I really appreciate this and getting to help them do this and spending time with them there.
Rick?
Yeah, probably me. Just I want to get smarter on that, the whole EU-NATO thing. Yeah, and I know we just scratched the surface of it, in Spain, but that whole link up, that lash up is something I just want to get smarter on. And then, like Stu said, the rekindling the old relationship. I want to see Tom Bylow again. I want to see Harry Engelsman. I want to see some of the guys that I worked with at SOCOM again because they're just hard paratroopers. I mean, they're good guys. And of course, the battlefields. I mean, come on, seriously.
Well, last time we saw Harry, Stu and I got pooped on by a bird, so...
Yes, but that brings you luck,
him.
Allegedly.
That's it.
We can skip seeing him. But everything else sounds awesome.
Take an umbrella.
Yeah, a big umbrella. So we look forward to seeing all of you there in Belgium, October 1st through 3rd, 2019.
Soft Spot is brought to you by the Global Soft Foundation, a 501c3 based in Tampa, Florida. If you're new to us, you can find out more about the foundation at gsoft.org. That's Golf Sierra October Foxtrot, soft.org.